Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Shape. Boom! As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on The Fan, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In any decision with the football team, just want to make sure I take my time and make sure I'm doing what's right for all the players. And that's this decision. That's really every decision I make.
That is Kevin Stefanski explaining.
Long-winded as usual, that's Stefanski.
I mean, he just, too much. Kevin, keep those cards a little closer to the vest.
Like
there.
You asked in between the break, you're like, which one, which clip do you want to go with? We got two, we got three, we got four. Which one's good to you? And I'm like, it's not going to matter with him.
You know why I got spoiled?
It's all going to be 5 seconds and that's it.
I got spoiled by the press conference earlier this week where even though he said nothing, he said everything with his answers. But that was Kevin Stefanski talking about the time it took to name Shador the backup and make this decision. We do have Jason Pinkston coming up in just about 20 minutes. I might not be ready to share the station issues that have happened that happened to coincide with society falling apart in
You sound like you're getting really ready to do it though.
I'm not ready. I'm still, I would say crestfallen, but I don't know what that word means. But if I knew what it means, that could be it. But if it's not, it's either that or quick hits at 3:40 after Pink. We'll see. As we get you ready on
a football. Talking about it in between every break. I kind of want you to do it now.
No, I'm just not ready. You know, I mean,
Every break, he's like, he's infuriated over this.
I was going to say, I can see him being so animated past the glass.
Don't even know what it is, though. That's the part that's keeping me up, wondering what's going on.
Because I'm on the edge of my seat.
Because it matters to you. It matters to Mac. It matters to Jake. It matters to everybody that works at this station.
The heavy
at this cluster.
Bet is it's not going to matter to me at all.
I think
it's a heavy bet.
Well, no. You might not identify with it yet, but you will. You damn sure will.
Did someone cross me?
I thought.
I did the emphasis on me there, funny, in a funny way. As if,
I thought crossing me was crossing you. I don't know.
Me?
I don't know. We'll see. But it might be 3:40. We'll see. We might do quick hits there. But I do think it's interesting. I know Baskin today talked about the Browns have now put a lot of pressure on Dylan Gabriel by naming Shador the backup.
Mm-hmm.
And like if fans right now are clamoring for Shador, I'm not. I think it's faded he'll play. I'm excited to see him play when he plays. But I understand, like, let's be real here. The Dylan's second start is not as big a story as Shador being the backup because Shador does have sizzle. Some of that's media creation. Some of that's Shador Camp's creation.
In this case, was the Browns' creation in many ways. They could have stopped the story on Tuesday.
I think that's 100% right. And so
we kind of need to highlight that a little bit, don't we?
Go ahead.
Oh, just the idea that like everyone's like, oh, it's always on Shador. It's always Shador's fault. He's the one that brings all this attention. He's the one that brings this and all that. Well, I mean, the Browns could have easily stopped this thing on Tuesday. You could have done the common sense play. What everyone thought should happen to begin with is everyone moves up. What Brian McFadden say? He was like, just everyone moves up one, and then you just keep the trains rolling down the track, and you don't have to worry about it. And the Browns instead decided to play how do we get the most attention possible for 3 days straight? You could have stopped this on Tuesday. On Wednesday, in the open portion to the media, the practice that was set, you could have put Shador at the backup quarterback spot next to Dylan Gabriel the way that you do every single week with the backup quarterback. Instead, you put him over there with the practice squad players. That's not on Shador. That's on the Browns. Like, the Browns have a hand in all of this. Like, they really do. It's bothersome to me that way.
So, I don't disagree. Can I give you two more plausible theories on why they just didn't call Shador the backup on Tuesday? One, they actually do like the distraction. They don't like the distraction when they're playing well or when something good happens and then they have to talk about Shador. like Dylan being the named the starter last week. But
like, we're not talking about how much you suck at football right now.
Bingo. I don't think that matters to Kevin. Might matter to the people that run the organization above Kevin and maybe even above Andrew Berry. The second one is, they might be painfully aware that the perception of them is that things are going to disarray, that this is becoming the same old Browns, verbiage that I've certainly used this week, and they wanted to use the Shador decision to show, hey, we're still being incredibly well thought out. We're still being incredibly, intentional. I think that's a word they've used a lot in all of our decisions. Meaning, we're going to use the Shador decision to paint us as somebody that, hey, there's no disarray here. The thought partners are still thinking partnered, really. And this is, well, this so is
that's
case
even
that.
That's even confusing still too. Like, so what happened to the people that were trying to tell us that through leaked sources that Shador wasn't ready and wasn't and needed so much more time to cook? Is that not just completely contradicting itself then when you make them one play away from being put in the football game?
I mean, I think their reaction will be, "Well, we didn't leak that." I think when
it's
you
been
leak
their message the entire time
it is,
though.
But when you leak it through third parties, you can say we don't know who said that in the organ. There's plausible deniability there versus if they had said it themselves.
We had Daryl on this morning on with Ken and Anthony being like, the Browns are doing. Daryl will join us later. Be like, the Browns are doing this right. They're finally doing this right, and it's like, well, hold on. Since you named him the backup quarterback, that goes up against everyone that thought that they were doing it right and slow playing Shador in any sort of way. Are those same people going to turn around? Will Daryl tonight turn around and say, what are the Browns doing with Shador Sanders? How dare they? What do they do? They're not treating him the right way. I don't think we're going to get that from Daryl today.
I don't think we will either. But I also
it's funny how it works.
I think when
it's pointing it out.
I think when the Browns leak things, it's the extra step away from what is reality. Meaning, they can leak anything they want to the media because it then falls on Daryl. It falls on the beat reporters. It falls on the national reporters. And I think they've gotten away with that. And I don't mean
and
gotten
I think they,
away.
I think they love that, by the way.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think they love when they make the national reporters and the local reporters look like idiots. I think they set them up sometimes to look like idiots. I think the whole draft process and what happened with the trade out of number two, obviously, it was for good football reasons, not suggesting that, but the misdirection that Andrew Berry kept playing with the media the entire time, where they had everyone certain that Abdul Carter was going to be the choice at number two, to then have everyone certain it was Travis Hunter to be the pick at number two. Like, they just like playing these games. They love these games, and they love the idea that they can get people to just take the bait and then eventually sound like idiots. That's what they love. They eat it up.
How much pressure is on Dylan? Or how much added pressure is on Dylan because of Shador?
I told you earlier, I disagree with Baskin's assessment. I do feel like the fans and everyone, but Stefanski doesn't pay attention to that noise nearly as much as people think that he does. I think the fans will be clamoring for Shador drive one that fails with Dylan Gabriel. But I think the understanding there is that Dylan Gabriel, at least my understanding of it, is that Kevin Stefanski needs this to work with Dylan Gabriel. This is his choice. This is the quarterback that he has said he loves and is the first one out of the gate outside of Joe Flacco. So he's going to have a long leash here in many respects to be able to showcase what he can and cannot do, because it's more important to Kevin that Gabriel is the one that works than it being Shador.
I do believe that the depiction of Dylan is a really good kid, really smart kid, very mature. I do think that's correct. I also think that there is, I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but I just, between the two times where was he talking about Shador, was he not talking about Shador?
I mean, this goes back even further than that. This is like the wrist up moment.
100%.
Yep. Rookie photo, everyone putting wrist up, and Dylan's over there sulking, rightfully so.
So it's not 100% on the up and up for me. And it doesn't mean, by the way, it's a huge deal either. But I would just say, if Dylan feels insecure just because Shador is backing him up, he's already cooked as an NFL quarterback. To the people worried about Dylan Gabriel, it's like, no, the entirety of becoming a starting quarterback in the NFL or being the starting quarterback even for a week, it's a giant stress test. And by the way, I think the reverse for Shador is the giant stress test of you're not starting, you've never not started in college, you got to figure this out, right? These are necessary tests that each of these young men have to go through. And if they fail it, there's your answer. And it's unfair to both of them that this has become a one-season prism. That's also the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, we get into these things of fair or unfair. It doesn't matter if it's fair or unfair, but it can only be more pressure on Dylan. If Dylan allows it, or if Dylan has a soft spot in his armor because of Shador.
I mean, he's
and
a bigger
in that,
man.
There's the answer.
He's a bigger man than I am if he doesn't let it get to him.
He's not, though. He's a very tiny fellow.
Yeah. I'm almost 6'2".
You walked me right into it.
I'm almost 6'2".
Yeah. He's a tiny little guy. He wishes he was Peterlin.
He would have been a first-round pick if he had Peterlin height. My older brother is 6'4". 6'3". My younger brother is 6'4". Mm. And I'm just approaching 6'2". Mm. He would have killed for some Peterlin height.
That's true. Just a little bit of it.
So the point is, though, that he's a much bigger man than I am, though. Seriously, though, in the respect of if he doesn't hear or doesn't see Shador breathing down his neck. Like, I don't know how you don't. It would be very incredible if he's just able to lock in and not focus on anything else around Shador. In fact, I don't even know how they do the whole Shador is supposed to help him throughout the week get better and do all that. I know Shador's a really good teammate. But even some of that stuff would be hard in many aspects.
In Cleveland joining us. Welcome to the show. Happy Football Friday.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I was thinking, and it's a different approach. I put myself in the coach's place. I'm thinking what happened was everybody before the draft. I'm talking about the first of the year, February. Everybody was talking about how good Shador was. So, for me, I'm not a professional football player, but
yet
I waited for football. I waited. And then when it's time, we're listening, and we're listening to these experts saying, oh, he's this. Oh, he's great. Oh, he's going to be number one. We're even talking about men that's sitting national, sitting at a desk like Mel. Mel was really upset. And then he fell. He fell all the way down to the fifth round. My thing is, I believe that there is a split between the front office and the coaching staff. I wouldn't like it if I drafted a quarterback in the third round and then someone else drafted one in the fifth round. Sierpaski, every time he does something, somebody else, but they're not saying this, somebody else is doing something else. The Browns was okay. And then you brought number four in. That's when we started going downhill. We bring in number four, but that's not bad enough. Then we had to change the offense with the other coordinator that didn't work out at all. That's not the coach's game.
He
likes to dink and dunk.
We are up against it, so we do have to run, but we appreciate it. What do you make of that call?
I wish we had Sweet Chin Music is what I make of that call.
That's fair. I didn't understand where
it's their bit.
We ended up,
but I wish we had it on our show at that point.
We kind of ended up going, we started doing the history of the Browns. There was a lot there. 216-474-0092. How much added pressure is on Dylan Gabriel now that Shador is the backup? Can only be added pressure if he allows it. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, in 5 minutes. Getting you ready for the Steelers-Browns game in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We got Browns-Steelers on Sunday in Pittsburgh. Dylan Gabriel's second start. Are we in the midst of a quarterback controversy? No. If the Browns are a well-led organization, it shouldn't be a controversy. But I did just use the condition, if the Browns are a well-run organization, and that remains to be seen, right? This ultimately is Dylan versus Shador. This is kind of just the perfect stress test.
But I don't even look at it like Dylan versus Shador, Nick. I look at it like it's Dylan versus Dylan for right now.
No, that's the way it should be, because that's the way it is.
It's the way it is.
But I think it can turn into that in those buildings, and that's why it's the stress test.
Like, the frustrating part of your Shador in this equation is that if Dylan Gabriel's awesome, guess what? You're not going to see the field. That's your reality. Like, Dylan, in getting the first rookie out of the gate opportunity, that's the leg up that you have. You have the job, and you don't have to give it away.
We do have quick hits coming up as well. some point we're going to deal with this issue that is facing the station that has come. We got evidence. We got maybe some testimony. It'll be from me, but some testimony. We'll deal with that as well. But Shador's the backup. Browns, Steelers on Sunday in Yinzertown. We're going behind enemy lines with a friendly face. You know him. You love him. Former Pitt offensive lineman, former Browns offensive lineman, Jason Pinkston joins us now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, buddy?
How are you guys?
We're doing all right here. It's a football Friday. It's an F-off Friday. I guess we'll get your initial reaction. What is your initial reaction to the fact that Shador Sanders will be the backup this weekend?
I'm fine with that. You know, I think he's done enough in training camp and preseason games. I saw Dylan went out there, and he played well versus the Vikings. I thought he threw some nice passes, and, you know, I think he earned the right to be the guy out there on the field Sunday, and I think it's a good opportunity for sure. Look, listen, you're the second guy. God forbid something happened to Gabriel on Sunday, and if your name's called, your name's called. And, you know, good for you. I'm honestly tired of hearing about Shador. I just want to see football, and I want to see this team turn the corner and start winning football games. You know, sometimes the media and myself and fans, you know, everyone's talking and talking, and the focus – it's Shador, and I think the focus needs to be the guys that are on the field and the guys that are, you know, trying to win us a football game. Good for Shador. He's now the second-string quarterback. If God forbid if something happens to Gabriel, if we need him, great. Hopefully he can go in there and he can throw some balls and show us what he really
– Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Yes.
All right, then get us set up for this weekend. Is this week bigger for Stefanski or Dylan Gabriel?
I think it's both. Honestly, you know, I think more so for Coach Stefanski. I think that you know, this obviously it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and any time that Cleveland can go in there and steal a win or you know get a win, it's a huge momentum boost for us, the town, the fans, the entire city. But you know, we lost to a banged up football team last week in the Minnesota Vikings. They're missing multiple starters on offense, and you know, I understand that you know you didn't throw the whole playbook at you know the first time starting rookie quarterback. But however, I thought that you know we played not to lose, and it ended up biting us in the end. And we lost that football game. So I think this is a big week, obviously, for the entire team and the organization. If we can get a win on Sunday, I think hopefully that can give us some momentum moving forward. And, you know, I think we are playing a football game that is very winnable if we can run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, and not let T.J. Watt, you know, wreck the game and, you know, let DK Metcalf run free with broken coverage and thing. I think this is a winnable football game.
Jason Pinkston on the Fan Hotline here with Nick and JP breaking down this Browns-Steelers game on Sunday. So I guess you kind of hinted to it there. After this, you've got the Dolphins at home, then the Patriots and Jets. What does a win do for the Browns on Sunday?
It gives you that confidence that, you know, things are working out, you know. It's starting to turn for the right direction. And, you know, no one thought that we would trade Joe Flacco this week, but things have happened. So I'm kind of – I was sitting back this week and I was kind of confused – on the plan, on what was happening with the team. You know, I thought Pickett was going to be in the mix there. Obviously, he got hurt, didn't play any preseason. You know, we were rolling with Flacco. And listen, I thought Joe did a decent job. You know, there were some interceptions that weren't his fault, and there were some big-time drops by our receivers and tight ends that weren't his fault, that did not help him. You know, we got Junkins back, and he's running the ball well. But, you know, it just was kind of confused there on where we were going and where this is ending up. And, you know, some of these younger rookies didn't get any reps in preseason, and now here we are. They're 1-2. But, you know, I think a win could really change the direction for us. You know, we have some very favorable games that we can be had, that we can win versus the Dolphins and Jets. We just need to get a win. Just a winning solves everything, and a win would really help, you know, the continuity of the team, the bonding. We need a win. We really do, really bad.
Pink, I think Quinshon might be a star. What do you see when you watch him play?
He is no doubt going to be a star. I mean, I was reading that people said he didn't have breakout speed. I saw him break, and he's making guys miss. He's running people over. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think we hit a home run with this guy. And I think most of our rookies in this draft class that have played are actually performing pretty well at a high level, that we do have something we can build on. But, you know, Judkins, seeing him run the football, I mean, had we didn't have those penalties, I think he would have finished well over 150 yards rushing versus a good Minnesota Vikings defense that was playing pretty well. So, I mean, the sky's the limit for that guy. You know, I just hope we don't have to overwork him to get what we need to get done, and I hope that we can help him with the pass game. But he can definitely help us and open things up for us on the back end with the way he's running the ball, because you have to respect it.
Pink, it's been interesting. I know you still live in Pittsburgh. You're from there. We forgive you for it because you're a former Cleveland Browns player. But, you know, there's been so much talk about the Steelers, and there's a lot of people nationally that do not want to buy into them as a good team. I don't think they're a finished product yet, which is even more impressive to me. Do you think the Steelers are as good as advertised?
Listen, you can only go by what their record says, and right now they're sitting at 4-1. I thought the Jets, you really got after them, and they let that slip away, and then obviously the Seahawks went in there and handled business. I think they're a solid football team. They have a good veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. I think they have a good receiver in DK Metcalf, a couple nice tight ends. I think the defense is a little older, and they're not playing together yet at a high level. You know, there's been some teams that have been really able to run the football on them and make big plays. And, you know, we are going in there. I know our offensive line is kind of banged up, and we're shuffling things around to try to get the right fit for our team. But I think if we can go in there and establish the run, I think we'll be okay. And listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are who they are. It's always going to be a dogfight when the Browns come to town or the Steelers go up to Cleveland. It's always going to be a hard-fought football game. You can flip a coin in the way which way it's going to go. And I really like it because it's a rivalry football game, one, and I'm just hoping we can go in there and take care of business.
Has the T.J. Watt-Myles Garrett debate been put to bed? Is it just it's Miles with a bullet?
If you're still having this debate, you're delusional. I mean, it's Myles Garrett by a landslide. The guy just changes the football game. I mean, he really changes what you do on offense. I mean, he can really wreck the football game, and I'm looking forward to see him Sunday. You know, I thought he's been just not off, but their teams are really keying on him and what he's doing. It's allowing other people to make plays, and I know this is a big one. He's going to be ramped up for it, obviously, because, you know, some of the things that TJ has said in the past, and, you know, media folks said in the past. But to me, Myles Garrett is the best defensive player in the National Football League, and he's been so for a couple years now. And if you can't take anything away from that guy, you won't see another player like him for a long time.
Pink, the Browns making two trades today, Joe Flacco for a pick swap, and then Greg Newsome and a seventh-rounder to Jacksonville for Tyson Campbell in a sixth-rounder, which ended up being basically a salary-cutting move by the Cleveland Browns. If you're in the locker room this week, what's the vibe? How did those kind of deals, trading your former starting quarterback and maybe downgrading at corner to save some money, but have somebody here long term, how are those received within a locker room?
You know, I think it sends the message as, hey, you know, and listen, I love Greg Newsom. I loved what he did for us. He was a fiery player. He was very active. I mean, every corners have one of the hardest jobs in the NFL. You're out there. You're by yourself. I thought he battled. I thought he played well. I was shocked to see him go. Obviously, I'm not up in those offices and making those decisions. But you know, the message I would have taken from it as a player, like, hey, you know, we better get this thing going because, you know, they're not afraid to trade somebody, get somebody out of there and try to get somebody else in there, whether it be an upgrade to the position or they're trying to get rid of somebody's salary. So hopefully, you know, the message was received, like, it's time to, you know, get this thing going, or, hey, your job or your career might be over here in Cleveland. You know, I'd be a little bit on edge and I'd be kind of, you know, one, I know some of those guys are upset. You know, they've played with that kid for, you know, 4 years now, going on five, and he was a brother, and he seemed that he was well liked in the locker room, didn't cause many problems, and when he was on the field, he battled. He did.
Have you lost faith in Kevin Stefanski?
I have not. You know, and you know what? I've always been the kind of guy that I'm going to ride with whoever, you know, who's leading the ship until the ship falls apart and they make changes. And, you know, I hate to say that, but I truly do think that he is a good head coach, and I think he is a leader, and those guys do respond for him. You know, I think there's a little more to it that, you know, in some of those meetings that we are not, you know, and we are not able to attend, that our strings are being, hey, this is what we want, and sometimes your hands are tied and you got to do what you got to do for the people that are signing your check. But, you know, I think he does win because we've seen it. We've seen him produce a good quality offenses and teams that are moving the ball on both sides, the defense playing well, offense playing well, and we've won games. So, and we've won a playoff game. Yes, he was out due to COVID, but he was a big part of that game plan going in, and when we did win our last playoff football game. So I have not lost faith in him. I will say I've questioned some of the decisions he has made, but as a fan, he don't give a heck what decisions I question. But I do love him. I do respect him for what he's doing. He's showing up and he's trying to get these. Trust me, no one wants to win more than he does. So I haven't lost faith in him yet. I have not.
Pink, we haven't lost faith in you. Strong stuff as always, buddy. Great catching up, and we'll catch up down the line.
Absolutely. Go Browns. We need this win. You know, we need it for the city, the town, the team, for everything. If we win a game, let's win this one. Win this game.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Jason, appreciate you.
Get the latest in Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Rotter recapping each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on-the-field action. Subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now to get all the latest from Daryl Rotter and the Browns all throughout the football season.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. Brian Batko, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, coming up in just about 20 minutes there. As always, guys, it is our first full week of every day, 2 to 7, YouTube. So watch along with the show, of course, the free Odyssey app. You can listen there, of course, terrestrial radio as well. But I'm not ready to talk about it. Just so we're clear,
this was going to be the segment.
I promise you this is not a lead up to a nothing. I know.
You told me this was going to be the segment.
I thought about it. I need more time. All right, 4:40. And this is it's non-negotiable. At 4:40, I will tell you the problem at 92.3 The Fan, what has been exposed at this station. And it's a weakness. It's something we all need to get better at, and we need to realize that societal laws have broken down. Let's get to quick hits instead.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry,
it's quick hits.
The Eagles fell to the Giants on Thursday Night Football 34-17, and after the game, A.J. Brown was asked about a reported meeting with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley earlier in the week to get the offense on the same page.
What was behind that?
I don't recall the meeting.
The meeting never happened.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those guys said it did happen.
You didn't talk to them.
You weren't in the meeting?
I don't recall.
Or you don't want to talk?
I don't recall.
Yeah, this is not a good look for your I don't recall look, by the way.
Oh, no, it's perfect.
No, because all it did was make me think, you're guilty.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's all it ever is. You're guilty.
Now, see, this is the power of I do not recall.
You might as well be saying, yes.
If you say it in court, or if you say it in front of the media, clearly it implies guilt. If you say it in your relationship, it's the greatest swerve of all time.
No, you're just admitting guilt.
I've come
full circle on this one. Like, you're just, I went from this stance right here, where you're just admitting guilt, to then being like, maybe there is something to this, to just fully back around to the, you're just admitting guilt, you just sound really guilty.
See, I think it's tough to swerve, to take the pro aspect of this and put it in the personal life. I think what happened is A.J. Brown has used this with maybe the women in his life previously, and it's worked, and he thought he could bring it to football, which he can't. In front of the media, you look like you're hiding something. In front of a jury, you look like you're hiding something. If you say it just casually between yourself and your significant other, I just can't recall.
It's weird he's trying to hide it, too. Like, other players that have been in that meeting talked about this meeting. Like, yeah. It's all public. It's out there.
He's come out and tweeted about it since.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
I'm not paying attention to it. Why? I don't recall.
Omaha!
Didn't read the room right there, did he?
No.
It was the perfect end point. It couldn't have been more perfect.
I don't recall.
Exactly right. All right, Phillies-Dodgers game last night. We're in the 11th inning. It's tied up at one apiece, and a boneheaded play by Kirkering, the pitcher here, cost the game for the Phillies. Here's the call on TBS.
Pajes breaks his bat. Kirkering got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away, and the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win.
Easy play right there. Just turn, throw it to first base. He goes for the runner at third, trying to get home. And it's just a boneheaded play. There's no other. I feel bad for him, but also in the same respect, like that. Just it's just a boneheaded play.
Yeah, if this happens in the regular season, we kind of laugh about it at a later date. There will never be any laughing about this at a later date. Even though the Dodgers came into this one with a 2-1 lead, this is Bartman. This is the big blunders that fan base. Remember for a decade after, right? Like it's that
the
level.
Kirkering game.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Phillies have had a lot of success, but these are the type of games that they just stay with you because they're just the dumbest way imaginable to lose. I don't know. I always do wonder about that stuff. Like, because it was in the NLDS, is it important enough to remember? Like the Bartman game, for instance, you were 6 outs away from the World Series. Cubs hadn't been to the World Series since 1945 at that point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we remember Rajay Davis's home run because it happened in the World Series. In game 7, you know, I don't know that this one is staying in Philly's lore.
No. It's not outside of Philly, but in Philly, like we remember the collapse against Philly. Like we aren't Philly, the Pacers last year. We remember getting the doors blown off us in the first round by the Knicks first year.
So we do remember the Knicks series. I think we'll remember that probably for a while because of the attachment to it that they just weren't physical enough and the lights were too bright. Once Jared Allen said the lights were too bright, but I don't remember many individual plays from that series necessarily. And like the Pacers series, I don't know that I'm going to remember the Pacers series until the end of time. Like, I don't know. I don't know that this one, only because it's just the NLDS. It's such a boneheaded play that I can't tell you you're wrong because we remember weird things, but I don't know about that.
Omaha! Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever were guests of the Colts this last weekend. Clark, a lifelong Chiefs fan, declined to wear the custom Clark jersey the team afforded her on her podcast. Kylie Kelce weighed in on the move.
I've just been given yet another reason to be a fan of Caitlin Clark. She and some of her Fever teammates were at the Colts game, and Caitlin, a diehard Chiefs fan, is the only one not wearing the custom jersey they made for her. Nailed it. You f***ing nailed that. You nailed that so hard. Here's the deal. Very kind of the Colts organization to give a customized jersey. I think that when you are raised a diehard fan of a team, that this is the only appropriate response to being given a jersey of another team.
Charming or chotch, Caitlin Clark declining to wear a Colts jersey because she's a Chiefs fan.
I think she did it the right way. There's a missing context there in how Kylie was describing it. Like, she held up the jersey. It's not like she did a whole like photo op with it. She held it up. She did everything but put the jersey on itself. That's like the perfect move for somebody that's a fan of another team.
The problem is,
you're accomplishing everything you need to do in that moment.
It's not like the Chiefs and Colts have a rivalry.
Yeah, but I don't know that. Like, I do think it's weird when athletes are such a proclaimed fan of, and like, she's been in the box with Taylor Swift. Like, she is I don't even know much about Caitlin Clark, and I know that she's a Chiefs fan. And so I always think it's weird when athletes or celebrities in any sort of way say that they're a fan of one and then go to a different game and just put the jersey on. It's the Theo Vaughn thing right now. No one knows who Theo Vaughn roots for at this point. They thought it was one team for a million years, but he goes to all these SEC games and he just puts on Tennessee jerseys. He puts on Alabama jerseys.
Those are
on
rivalries.
He puts on Vanderbilt jerseys. He puts
like
on
the
everything.
Colts Chiefs. Can you even remember a
Vanderbilt.
Good playoff game?
He wore a Vanderbilt jersey.
Yeah, but Chiefs Colts. There's just no, like, I would never wear a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. You would not. I mean,
so if Jacksonville was like, hey, listen, you guys are hot. Like, for some reason, they love afternoon drive and they want to have us out there to a Jacksonville game. You'd like put on the jersey.
Does it fit?
Yeah, it fits. It's
how
made for
much
you.
Are they pampering?
It's
me?
Got your last
free
name
ticks,
on it.
Free box seats.
You get a suite. You get unlimited Uncrustables.
Come on, girl.
All the Uncrustables you can eat.
Don't tease if you can't please. All right.
And you get those little chocolate cups that they fill up with then the liquid chocolate that I've only seen at stadium suites.
I can only get so
not
excited.
Not that I've been in a lot of stadium suites, but that's the one. That's like the one dessert that's universal to that.
Yeah, like I wore the Panthers gave me a thing for when I was down there. Yeah, I wore that. It was very nice of them. I wanted to show them that I appreciated that.
Well, you
there's
were
no
around,
heat between the Panthers
you were
and Browns.
Around the team though at that point. That was different.
She's around the team. She's in Indianapolis. She's right down the road from them.
All right. That's a fair rebuttal. I'm not going to, I got nothing to, because that is the professional equivalent of what you were doing in Carolina.
Yeah. It's just kind of showing respect.
It's just being,
very nice
it's just being a good sport. I forgot about the Indianapolis side of this.
Yeah.
Like, that is her hometown, like the one she's playing in right now. So I guess that wouldn't hurt you anything to put it
but
on.
But like if she but played I do in respect, Denver or the LA with the Chargers,
I respect
get this
her
more.
Not wanting to do it though. I do respect her not wanting to do it. I brain fart. Forgot that the Colts and I forgot you played in Indiana for the Fever. To be honest, that was the missing judgment.
That
there.
Does track with your overall feelings on the WNBA and how much
completely,
you pay attention to
completely
it.
Completely didn't.
So
connect
actually,
those
that
dots.
Is a very plausible argument you just gave us.
I don't want to wreck your weekend, but I'm bringing you the story to potentially prepare you.
Weekend?
No, prepare you okay. For what your weekend is going to be on Sunday afternoon around 1 o'clock. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I guess.
Have you seen the announcing pairs for this weekend?
Oh. Gosh, no.
You haven't seen him?
No.
Oh, no. This is really going to not make your day then. Mac, have you seen the announcing pairings? Because you're looking at me like, why are you bringing this up?
No, I haven't seen
him
yet.
On the call for the Steelers and the Browns this weekend. One, friend of the morning show, although he didn't appear this weekend. So are you really friends? I don't know. Ian Eagle.
Oh, well, that's good.
Great.
Love Ian Eagle.
Fantastic. Whoa, what an upgrade.
Eagle
but you guys
swords.
Know you know who's been paired with Ian Eagle this week, or really this season, excuse me, for NFL games.
I'm not, because I don't think we've seen Ian Eagle yet.
Ah, J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's going to be on the call this weekend, and J.J. Watt is a known nemesis of yours
so
in many ways.
So we got a double Wah Wah Watt weekend?
We are
weekend?
Going to have a double Wah Wah Watt weekend. And
oh, this is why T.J.'s the better player.
Two for the price of one, as he tries to squeeze in all sorts of what he is trying to present as unbiased T.J. Watt narratives while clearly being biased T.J. Watt narratives into the broadcast.
It didn't ruin the weekend. But will I hate tweet about this? You are darn Skippy,
I will. Tells me, are you going to actually listen to TJ Watt to be a real judge of how he's done? I actually have listened to TJ Watt in one of the Steelers games that he did with Ian Eagle. And outside of just inserting TJ Watt stats to places that they didn't need to be inserted into, kind of like JJ Watt. Kind of thought he did a good job.
No, I'm definitely going to watch it just so I can complain about it.
I kind of thought he did a good job. And so, like, I'm dying to find out what people think this weekend about J.J. Watt and whether or not he can actually do this, or it's just him just propping up his brother until the end of time.
Don't love it. That is Quick Hits. When we come back, Brian Batko of Pittsburgh Steelers lore will be joining. He'll be joining us. We'll get to his thoughts on how good this Steelers team is and whether the Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt feud, fiasco, whatever you want to call it, has lost some of its luster. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.